The French president, François Hollande, is now the holder of two records. First, for having the lowest approval rating of any French president in 2014 at 12%. And now he's the first Western leader to attend the meeting of the Cooperation Council of the Persian Gulf Arab countries. We'll be asking why France has decided on this move, and also whether this amounts to a sellout in return for lucrative deals in the billions of dollars with the most repressive regimes, such as Saudi Arabia.
French President François Hollande is on a tour to the Middle East. He arrived in Qatar on Monday as the first leg of his two-day tour. Hollande attended a ceremony in Doha to mark the sale of 24 French fighter jets to the oil-rich Persian Gulf state. The $7 billion Rafale jets deal was a success for France's arms industry. Analysts believe that France's policy in the Middle East has played an important role in securing such sales. They say Paris has ignored concerns about its clients' rights abuses and lack of democracy to sell its weapons and make more profits.
This motley crew is a bunch of monarchs, undemocratic. They sit in the top 42% of the world's oil on that southwest corner of the Persian Gulf. And so it's no surprise that Hollande would go there. They are 24 fighter jets to the Al Thani family in Qatar. And of course, it'll destabilize the region.
The deal has raised the eyebrows of many anti-arms trade campaigners who slam selling weapons to countries that do not have good human rights records. Such concerns grew even stronger when Hollande arrived in Saudi Arabia after his visit to Qatar. He attended a summit of Persian Gulf Cooperation Council in Riyadh. Hollande is the first Western head of state to attend GCC leaders' summit. During the summit, he expressed France's support for Saudi military operations in Yemen. The French president said Riyadh can count on Paris in its campaign against Yemen. Hollande supported a war that does not have the UN mandate, a war that mainly targets Yemen's infrastructure and has so far killed nearly 3,000 people, a war that not only is unable to bring national reconciliation, but is leading to further escalations. The instability is a golden opportunity for the French president to find market for its arms. In his speech to the GCC summit, Hollande failed to discuss the rights violation by the Persian Gulf Arab states, but took the chance to threaten Iran. During the summit, the French president said that though Paris supports nuclear negotiations with Tehran, it may take military actions if needed. The threat seems to be an attempt to convince the Persian Gulf monarchies to purchase more French weapons in appreciation of Hollande's anti-Iran remarks. Negotiations to sell arms to Riyadh and Doha, both of which have supported the military coup in Egypt, is definitely not over stability. It is also believed that Hollande's talks with the two states that have supported terrorism in Syria is not for calm, as Saudi Arabia has waged a heavy crackdown on Bahraini people and Qatar is facing heavy criticism over its mistreatment of migrant workers. French arms sales to the rich Persian Gulf monarchies have become a new El Dorado at the cost of fueling instability and tensions in the Middle East.
Joining us for this edition of the debate from the Answer Coalition, Richard Becker joins us from San Francisco, and we have President of the American Institute for Foreign Policy, Michael Lane, who joins us from Washington. Gentlemen, welcome. Michael Lane, let me start with you and get a reaction. What do you think the first Western leader to attend the GCC meeting of the Persian Gulf Arab countries, François Hollande?
Well, I don't think it's an accident. I think there are a number of things that are going on here. The first situation is that the Gulf Cooperation Council is going to meet in Washington in the next week or so at the invitation of President Obama. There's no denying the fact that almost every member of the GCC has expressed doubt publicly and more vociferously privately as to whether or not the United States will continue to be a reliable partner and trusted ally in the region as long as President Obama is in the White House. So in an effort to send a signal to President Obama in advance of the Washington meeting, I think that the president of France, Mr. Hollande, was hand-selected, hand-picked by the GCC to come because it's been widely reported that France has been the most, shall we say, reluctant among the P5 plus one to sign off on exactly where the nuclear negotiations with Iran are going. For that reason, the G5 has asked Hollande to come there to establish very strong, close economic and military and security ties with the region to fire sort of a warning shot over President Obama's bow, letting him know that America is not the only player in the game.
Do you agree with that assessment, Richard Becker?
Well, I think that what Hollande is doing is trying to not only further arms sales by France, by French arms makers to the GCC countries, but also this is part of the contention between countries which are nominally allies, nominally allies through NATO, but really in contention with each other over global influence, and particularly influence in the Middle East. And, you know, we can see that the U.S. position has slipped. The chaos that reigns in so much of the Middle East today is a direct result of the illegal, the unjust, and the fabricated invasion of Iraq, which was based on fabricated reasons back in 2003. And it's unleashed forces all over the region that have changed the region in very negative ways for the vast majority of people. And have rearranged alliances in the area. And Hollande is, you know, making the move that he's making on the interests of French imperialism. We have to say, though, that the arms sale that was just made is about 10% of the current arms sales that the United States is in the midst of to Saudi Arabia, where it has already in the past sent over or sold over $100 billion in arms.
Well, Michael Lane, if this is solely about Iran, don't you think that this type of discussion has already taken place between Saudi Arabia and the United States? And even above and beyond that, is France in a position to go to Saudi Arabia and talk about Iran in terms of the nuclear agreement? I mean, it's a P5 plus one that needs to be present there. Does France have the right to do that, and Saudi Arabia to then influence France in that respect?
All excellent questions. Look, it's not all about Iran. It's a lot part about Iran, but there are other things that are going on. I firmly believe that the domestic political trouble that President Hollande is in France, his polling is atrociously low. He is looking for a way to pump up his own popularity at home and striking enormous economic deals with cash-rich Middle East countries is one of the ways that he's going to improve his domestic popularity. So that's another thing aside from just Iran that's going on. The other question that you asked, you know, can Saudi Arabia and France, you know, go at this alone and influence the whole thing? The answer, I believe, is no. But the options are somewhat limited. And the members of the GCC, Saudi Arabia in particular, but all of them, are quite worried about what the final outcome of the Iran nuclear talks will be. They have expressed their opinion that they think President Obama will lead the P5 plus one into an agreement that will allow for Iran to obtain a nuclear weapon should they choose to pursue one. In fact, President Obama was quoted as saying that there would be an immediate breakout at the end of 13 years after the agreement was signed, and Iran could obtain a nuclear weapon at that point if they wanted to. So the options are relatively diminished. There is a power vacuum there because President Obama has been, for the most part, uncomfortable in his own role as a world leader and with the United States' role as a world leader. He has intentionally pulled back, which has created some of the instability and a vacuum of power in the in the Middle East. Iran has done an extremely good job in positioning themselves to further their own hegemony in the area, but this is also an opportunity for Hollande to lead France into the area to pump up his own domestic problems numbers at home and at the same time expand France's influence and hegemony in the region itself, ultimately challenging the United States as to who is the most influential policy setter in the area.
Now let's take a step back, Richard Becker, and look at the whole thing in terms of how things are transpiring. Here you have these Persian Gulf countries like Saudi Arabia, Oman, Qatar. Of course, Saudi Arabia and Qatar at the top of the list in terms of arms purchases that they've made. Then you have the U.S., and now you have France, and of course the U.K. These are all countries, Western countries, that are selling arms to these Persian Gulf countries. And at the top of the list, Saudi Arabia, who's bombing Yemen, and most recently with these U.S.-made cluster bombs. This just does not send the right message when it comes to countries like the U.S., the U.K., and France.
Well, you know, the way it's presented to us here in the United States is there's something very hostile and inexplicable about Iran supposedly sending arms to the Houthis in Yemen. At the same time, vast quantities of arms are flowing from the arms makers who make an enormous profit from it in the U.S., in Britain, in France, to these countries which have some of the most corrupt forms of government of any countries in the world. These are, you know, the monarchies, the so-called royal families. Well, there really is no such thing as a royal family. What there are thieves and bandits who establish themselves in power and by military means continue to remain in power. That characterizes the so-called royal families of the GCC. And so this is who the U.S. is aligning itself with. This is who France is aligning itself. And they have some contention between them. And they have had for a long time, particularly within NATO. Probably the main contention has been between the United States and France. But it is undeniable that what has set this in motion is not what Obama has done. And I'm not a defender of Obama by any means. But what has set all of this in motion, all this crisis throughout the region, was the U.S. invasion of Iraq, the dismantling of its military, the dismantling of its government, with the greatest arrogance, saying, we're going to provide you with a new form of government, and then it'll spread all over the Middle East. And instead, something else has spread all over the Middle East that didn't really exist there before. There was no al-Qaeda in Iraq before 2003, before the U.S. invasion. There was no such thing as the Islamic State, which grew out of al-Qaeda. So we have to be honest and accurate in portraying and explaining what has happened. And this is an outgrowth of U.S. aggression in the region and with its allies joining in that aggression, of course. But it's mainly been the U.S. aggression which has torn the region apart.
Okay, but Michael Lane, I'm going to address this question to you with the view that I'd like to get from you is the fact that doesn't this really send a negative image? Because we really want to take a look at what is going on here. You know, these monarchies, they don't have democracies. I mean, you know very well in terms of Saudi Arabia how it's been time and again mentioned by Human Rights Watch what is going on inside the kingdom. Those jails are overcrowded with people who, if they say something the wrong way, will be put in jail about the monarchy. And this goes pretty much across for the rest of these regimes. And yet they're being pumped up with all this arms. And, of course, that's being exercised in the region, maneuvering, and in many cases been cited for them to be supporting these al-Qaeda and Daesh ISIL terrorists.
Yes, I can't disagree with much of anything of what you said in the framing of that question. Look, if the West had its magic wand that I sometimes mention on this show, and they could wave that magic wand, or if I had a magic wand, I think the same thing. We would prefer to have free democracies in the region that fairly represented the people. And that we're in search of peace and prosperity among their neighbors. But we don't have that. When you deal with the reality of what's going on, It is somewhat hypocritical, or it is grossly hypocritical, for the West to embrace some of these dictatorships that do have gross human rights violations and are not necessarily representative of their people. But nonetheless, in terms of pursuing safety and stability in the region, the United States finds it more pragmatic to have alliances with governments they can trust and that they get along with, and those happen to be the monarchies in the area. Would we change it if we could? Yes,
so that was a contradictory
but we can't,
statement.
And it's in our perceived interest. No, it's hypocritical. I understand that, but you know, this is not a revelation that there's hypocrisy in world politics. That's pretty much the way it's been.
The U.S. doesn't want democracy in the Middle East. The U.S. doesn't want democracy in the Middle East. You just said that the U.S. prefers democracy, but then you said they prefer monarchies. They do prefer the monarchies. They have no interest in democracy in the Middle East. That's a complete myth.
No.
The U.S. has stood behind the most reactionary governments, carried out coups against democratic governments, including in Iran back in the 1950s. You know, it's just a completely false idea that this is what the U.S. is looking for. It's looking for cooperative partners who will share their wealth with the U.S. oil companies and banks, with the United States, and will further U.S. global interests. That's what they want. They could care less about democracy, and they've proven it over and over and over again. You know, you look at the criticism here in the United States. They say Iran's elections are not fair. Well, you don't have to worry about elections in Saudi Arabia. They've never had one. So, you know, it's not really so much hypocrisy as it is the interests of empire and domination that are at play.
Very well. I know you have a response there, Michael Lane, but let's take a quick time. I'll listen to some of your comments.
All right. Well,
and we'll get back to the debate. Thank you.
All right.
France wants to earn money at the cost of Muslims' lives. Same with Canadian sales to Saudi Arabia. Military equipment worth $10 billion. France and its Western allies support Arab kings and dictators politically and militarily, whilst they support France and its Western allies by purchasing massive amounts of armaments, thereby propping up failing economies and unpopular governments. They're all in it together, and none are innocent. The Arabs finally are trying to stand up for their rights against Iran. They're trying to defend themselves, which they should have done long, long time ago. These womanizers are running Arab states like their family business. Hypocrisy of the Arab world. France supported the whole cartoon thing. Now they invited him? Small countries are the rich buy tons of weapons. And what are we to believe the seller really thinks is that the seller just waiting to take over their country and use those weapons for their own ends? Or is some other dirty deal happening that the citizens of the world know nothing about?
Just some of the viewer comments there. Well, Michael Lane, you had a response to Richard Baker, I believe.
Yeah, I think he has it partially right. I can't disagree with everything he said, but I do disagree with the bigger picture. His comment that the United States or the West are looking for partners of economic cooperation and reliable allies is exactly correct. There's no doubt about that. Where I disagree with him is that I think on balance, we would like those reliable allies and economic partners to be democracies as much as possibly could happen in those countries. But we find ourselves in a realistic world where our reliable allies happen to be, for the most part, the monarchies. You know, we're not going to depose our friends or work to undermine our friends in terms of a democracy for which we are unsure as to what their position would be vis-a-vis an allied relationship with the United States. So, he's right in terms of what we're dealing with in the real world. But I do think in a perfect world, which doesn't exist, we would certainly like to improve the human rights record and have more democracies in the region.
Well, why doesn't Richard Becker, Saudi Arabia?
I think that's exactly wrong.
Go ahead, Richard Becker. Go ahead.
I think that's exactly wrong. The reason that the U.S. prefers the monarchies and these extremely repressive governments is because they know very well that the great majority of people in the countries that live, the people who live, have to live under these monarchies, would reject, if they had their choice, they would reject this relationship of subservience and collaboration with the countries that have dominated the region for so long, have exploited the region for so long. They know very well that the great majority of people in Saudi Arabia do not agree with the Saudi government's relationship with the United States and with the form of government that they have. They would like to change that, but they can't. They've been unable to up until now because of extreme repression, because of the very kind of governments that exist.
Michael Lane, I don't know if you recall, but there was news that came out regarding a meeting of the Arab League, of which the Swedish foreign minister was in attendance. Saudi Arabia blocked her from talking about human rights in that meeting. And what was the reaction, you think, by Sweden on that? They stopped selling arms to Saudi Arabia. $900 million worth of arms sales a year. They stopped that. Why can't a country like France do that, or the States, or the UK?
Well, I think, you know, Sweden has always been a different kind of Western country. They are a little bit more dedicated to core principles, I think, of the way they would like to see human rights around the world and those kinds of things. They're not particularly realistic in terms of their view of the world. If they're going to cancel $900 million worth of contracts, I mean, that puts a lot of Swedes out of work. It makes for a lot of economic hardship in their own country, which they were willing to do. Most other countries, including most Western countries, are not willing to do that on a snap decision. Okay. They're willing to work towards it so that the transition will not put people out of work, will not harm economies.
We're running out of time. Richard Becker, in 30 seconds, this type of relationship reinforcing Saudi Arabia's behavior and how they conduct themselves both inside and outside of the kingdom regionally, don't you think?
Well, there's no question about that. It's good for the Saudi so-called royal family. It's good for the U.S. and the French arms makers. It's terrible for the people in Saudi Arabia, and right now it's even worse for the people in Yemen. So you see a policy that is being pursued which will only lead to greater resistance and rebellion against the domination of these powers and that government.
Very well. Thank you very much for that from the Answer Coalition, Richard Becker there. And thank you, President of the American Institute for Foreign Policy, Michael Lane,
thank
who
you.
Spoke to us from Washington. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. For me, Kavitha, we and the entire team in the Capitol, Tehran. It's goodbye.